Okay, we'll get started. Our first introduction to Rabbi Kenny Brander, who, of course, I'm sure many of you know, is the very hardworking and very efficient and really doing wonderful work at the Center for the Jewish Future at Yeshiva University. I have the honor and pleasure. We are classmates from YU, and many of you may or may not know that Rabbi Brander was the last of the Meshamshim of Rav Soloveitchik, and afterwards moved into to Boca Raton, where he built up a thriving community and was actually called back by Richard Joel to come to YU to work on the national level. And it's a pleasure to have him here and his wife. I think all our speakers are here with their spouses, so it's a pleasure to have him. Oh, Rabbi Brander.
Okay, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. And before we begin with the PowerPoint presentation, I wanted to begin by thanking Rabbi Kelman, Dr. Malamant, for just really developing Torah in Motion in general, what it's done to speak about various topics throughout the world, not just in Toronto, has really been a model for all of us in the Jewish community, and kol hakavod. So I have half an hour to speak about PGD and genetic testing. Not exactly a tremendous amount of time to speak about this issue, but just to give you an overview. And I'm fond of beginning often when I'm asked to speak about a topic that one could speak about at great length, and speaking about it in half an hour, I'm fond of just spending a moment by introducing it with an interesting joke. There's a story about a rabbi who is traveling on a plane. He's having a conversation with the person sitting next to him. The person sitting next to him says, "You know, Rabbi, I understand you studied for many years for your ordination, but basically everything that you studied, all of those years of study in Israel and in the rabbinical school, I understand can be summarized in just one statement from the Bible: love thy neighbor as you love yourself." Now the rabbi is quite disturbed. After all, he studied all these years, studied Yoredeya, studied Hilchos Shabbos, Mikvos, Erevin, went through all these supplementary rabbinics courses, which, by the way, Rabbi Kelman, are much better than they were when we were in Clinton School. And he's a little frustrated. And he turns to the person sitting next to him and says, "Tell me what you do." And the person says, "Listen, Rabbi, you're really not going to understand what I do. I have two PhDs, one from MIT, one from Harvard. And I'm an astrophysicist." And the rabbi said, "You know, that's true. I really don't understand what you do, but I understand that everything you do and everything that you study with your two PhDs can be summarized in one important statement: twinkle, twinkle, little star." And in some ways, I feel the same way about this topic. But Baruch Hashem, there are people in the audience who have much more ideas on both the medicine as well as the halacha on issues of PGD. So if afterwards you have any questions, please feel free to speak to people like Rabbi Dr. Steinberg, Rabbi Glatt, and others who can help elaborate on these issues. The issue of genetic testing for the three of us in this room who are not doctors, just to basically give you a very brief overview. As Rabbi Broid mentioned earlier, there are the standard ways to have children, which we're all familiar with. And then there are assisted ways of reproduction. One of the assisted ways of reproduction is through the use of IVF, or more dramatic ways of IVF, what's called ICSI IVF, in which not only do you put the sperm and the egg within a petri dish, but you actually force the sperm into the egg itself through the notion of ICSI IVF, and you cause there to be the fertilization of the egg, you cause there to be the creation of a zygote, and essentially create a fertilized egg within a laboratory, and the egg eventually develops to the point in which you have the wherewithal at the blastocyst stage of development, the fifth day after fertilization, to remove. There is more than one way to do PGD. In Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, actually, and in Chicago and in a few other places, they don't just use the inner cellular mass. They're able to do PGD in other ways. I'm just speaking just one specific way, and that is removing one cell from the cellular mass, and that with that one cell that you remove from the cellular mass, you can actually test certain types of diseases, Ashkenazic genetic diseases, as well as other types of diseases that can be tested in order to be able to obviate certain challenges that a child may have. Now, Rabbi Broid spoke about the notion of using IVF procedures when a husband and wife can't have children. What happens, like the cases I get as a dean at Yeshiva University, as someone who works with Rabbanim around the world, where you'll have a situation where the parents can have children, but they've had a Tay-Sachs child in the past, and they'll use IVF and PGD in order to ensure that future children don't have that genetic challenge or other challenges. And PGD can be used as a way, an assisted reproduction of obviating certain types of genetic disorders. There are other things that PGD can be used, there are other things that PGD can also help obviate, and those are often what I would call social issues or perhaps even other halakhic issues. I remember once I had the opportunity to speak at a conference at Bar-Ilan University. I had just started at YU like 2 weeks ago, and they had me interviewed on a television show. It was challenging enough to answer the question in Hebrew, let alone to answer the following question, where I was asked that apparently in the newspaper a day or so earlier, there was, and I'm not trying to be in any way stereotypical, I'm just stating the question the way it was asked to me, that there was a Haredi couple that was using IVF. The husband had no sperm, and so they used the sperm from a non-Jew. As Rabbi Broid mentioned, Rav Moshe Feinstein, as well as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and also Paskins, that one can use non-Jewish sperm. They decided that they wanted to do PGD for the following reason. The husband was a Kohen. Since they were using non-Jewish sperm, the child was going to be not a Kohen, but a Yisrael. And he wanted to make sure that the child they would have would be a female child, so that when the child would get called up to the Torah, and he was a Kohen or an Eretz Yisrael, when they would Duchen, the child wouldn't have the challenge that the father would go up to Duchen and the child would not. The father would get Kohen and the child would not. There are no women's prayer services in Meir Shearim, so there wasn't any of those issues. And so the idea is that he wanted to make sure that the only children that he would have would be female children. And so he was doing PGD in order to make sure that after the IVF procedure was done with donor sperm, that they would only implant fertilized eggs that would bear female children and not male children. Is PGD permitted not only to deal with genetic disorders, but to deal with what I would call social challenges? And finally, is PGD permitted to deal with issues of puruvu, the mitzvah of having a male and female child? If I have all male children and I want a female child, someone who has four boys and one girl, and recognizing that the girl is much easier to take care of than the four boys, and is the cream in the Oreo cookie of our family. You know, it's always nice to have at least one girl. Or if somebody has all girls and for some reason wants a boy to fulfill the mitzvah per Ravu, can one be involved in the issue of PGD and basically do gender sex selection? Now, obviously, although I'm not going to get into this, I'm just going to mention it for 20 seconds because I think it's important. Obviously, the issue of doing genetic screening before a couple gets married is something, or while a person's dating seriously, is important. In fact, at Yeshiva University, we've made a very strong drive to do genetic testing. In fact, there are some students here from Yeshiva University from the Medical Ethics Society, and they actually run that drive. We've actually moved from using closed testing of Dor Yesharim to using more open testing, and all of the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, which is not a hard task, but not always an easy task, have signed on a document. For example, the issues that Dr. Steinberg spoke about last night, I could never get, in the definition of death, everybody to sign on one document agreeing on that within the environment of YU. But on issues of genetic testing, every Rosh Yeshiva has signed encouraging every student at Yeshiva University, both the men and the women, to be involved in genetic testing as they are involved in the dating process. And so PGD can be used, as we all know, to deal with certain genetic challenges, could be used to deal with social issues I just mentioned, as well as choreographing one's family if one wants to, for example, fulfill the mitzvah peruvu and has failed heretofore, has not been able to, through the standard methods of having children. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to just give you an overview of some of the halachot. Is there halacha in general? What does halacha say in general about the use of PGD? And perhaps just bring up one meta halachic issue and then show you some of the conversations that there's been back and forth on this issue. And then if there's a few minutes, take some questions. Everyone with me so far? Everyone with me so far? Okay. So I actually would like to use this book and to use the Makorot that I put in this book. So if everyone could do me the favor of opening up to somewhere in the middle where it says, Playing God, Can I Choose My Child, PGD and Genetic Screening. There's a page one to the right of that, and we can just flip through these pages pretty quickly. If anyone can't find it, please raise your hands. We'll make sure you can... It's a big page. It just says, Playing God. Okay, we good? Okay. So, it's interesting to know that you find several midrashim, as well as gemaras, that speak about people wanting to try to have male children. Just to sort give you one source, if you look at where it has Oschet, Amar Rav Chi, Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, anyone who makes Havdalah on wine as opposed to any other types of drinks that are Chamar Medina that would be permitted. Having law banim scharim. It's a way to guarantee that you have male children. Or the Gemara in Baba Basra, Mayatse Adam Yulo banim scharim. What should a man do in order to have male children? One answer is give a lot of tzedakah. Another answer is one should make his wife happy during marital relations. But there is this idea of trying to figure out a way through one's actions of having male children or sex selection. Obviously, PGD is a little bit more aggressive than, from a medical perspective, than the ways that we just articulated. Perhaps from a medical perspective, can produce results in a more effective way. Maybe not an existential effective way, but from a medical effective way. If we turn to the next page, there's an unbelievable Gemara that Rabbi Soloveitchik used to discuss with us that actually Dr. Tursky Zatzal also mentions in an article in Tradition, a famous machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus, the Roman governor of Judea, turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, you know why the Jewish people are condemned to hell? The Jewish people are going to Gehenim because they help the poor. And Turnus Rufus gives the following example. Suppose an earthly king incarcerated one of his subjects and said, no one can give this person any food or drink. And somebody gave this person food or drink. Would not the king be angry at that person? And you, the Jewish people, are called the servants of God. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. You are the servants of God. And therefore, says Turnus Rufus, anytime you help the poor that have been incarcerated, you essentially are going against the will of God. Says Rabbi Akiva, suppose an earthly king incarcerated his own child and said, no one is to give my son or my daughter any food or drink. And somebody sneaks food to his son or daughter. Would not the king at the end of the day be happy? And we are considered the children of God. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Rabbi Soloveitchik once explained that this difference between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva is a deep philosophical difference regarding the role and our partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do not wear the eyeglasses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do not ask the question, why bad things happen to good people, a concept that Rabbi Glatt brought up. We ask the question, when challenges happen to people, how can we deal with those issues? Turnus Rufus is saying, we wear the glasses of God. God condemned that this person has children with challenges. You have no right to use PGD to interfere. God condemns that this couple is infertile. You have no right to interfere. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's not the way we work. We do not wear the glasses of God. We do not ask the question, why? But when there are challenges, we are God's partners. And we have the capacity to use science as a way of transforming the status quo and empowering people to actualize dreams that are consistent with the norms and mores of halacha. Indeed, the Meiri in Sanhedrin in the 1200s writes a beautiful thing. He speaks about the idea that when science will allow us to procreate in various ways, that this is permitted, this is not kishuf, this is not considered magic, because when science is the conduit through which this is achieved, then it is 100% halachically permitted. And so I think the first idea that we need to know is the idea that when we have the gifts that science has given us, in this case PGD, pre-implementation genetic diagnosis, that can help obviate certain challenges, we should recognize that this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we have the wherewithal to use it. What about the fact that we manipulate and sometimes will destroy fertilized eggs had not yet been put in the womb of the woman? Is there any halachic challenge with that? And I think it's important for us to recognize that there are not challenges at that point in time for two reasons. One is, it is before the 40th day of the status of the fertilized egg. An egg before the 40th day is considered maya ba'alma. It's like a sack of water. It does not have a halachic status at all as was mentioned last night, an embryo within the womb is not considered a human being. Does not mean we're permitted to abort the fetus. We are permitted to violate the Shabbos. The Rishonim discuss why. But clearly before the 40th day, which is also permitted to violate the Shabbos, but Mutul Chal Shabbos Achas, the Bahag explains, and others, but what's clear here is that before the 40th day, the fetus is considered like a fertile, like Maya Ba'alma. Then Benoshel Kavachomer, surely in a case where the fertilized egg in this case is not yet within the womb and therefore has no chance at the present time to ever develop into a human being. This idea is accentuated that we treat the fertilized egg within the first 40th days as Maya Ba'alma. In the two sources on the bottom of page 2, I'll just mention one of them, and that is normally the halacha is that if a woman has had a miscarriage, the child that is born afterwards, there's no pidyon haben because it is not considered the first fruit of her womb. But in a case in which the miscarriage happened before 40 days, if that can be pinpointed and diagnosed that the miscarriage happened before the first 40 days, then the next child born would have the mitzvah of pidyon haben, because a miscarriage before 40 days doesn't even have the status of fruit of the womb, and therefore would not halachically, therefore it's not considered, the next child that's born is not considered not the fruit of first fruit of the womb, because the miscarriage that happened before 40 days is not yet considered halachically anything. Especially in our case, when the fertilized egg has not yet been put in the womb, there's no halachic status whatsoever, and therefore to destroy eggs that have genetic challenges, fertilized eggs that have genetic challenges, would not be a challenge whatsoever. This idea is highlighted in various articles that I have just put here for your own perusal. If you turn to the next page, you'll see from the former Sephardic chief rabbi an article. If you turn to the page after that, you'll see an article from Rabbi Zilberstein. And he writes, and that's on the right hand, there's two articles, the right hand column. He writes, and I'm just paraphrasing, Otam beitziot hapegiot machala, a fertilized egg that has certain genetic challenges, not only do you not have to return them to the womb, you're allowed to destroy them. There's no din even of shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishofech, because as he writes, since it's not yet within the womb, there are no challenges to the issue whatsoever. And that's why, by the way, the halacha is that if there is a clinic, for example, I mean, this is just a hypothetical example, and there is a blackout, and all of a sudden the cryopreservation of the fertilized eggs are being compromised on Shabbos. Normally, you know, every lab has backup systems and things of that nature. This is totally hypothetical. As opposed to a woman who's pregnant with a fertilized egg that's less than 40 days old, it's permitted to drive her on Shabbos to the hospital. The rav of the ear can drive her to the hospital. It wouldn't be permitted for the doctor of the lab or the embryologist or someone else to, on Shabbos, go to the laboratory and save the fertilized eggs that are being cryopreserved. Because at that point in time, they don't have a halachic status whatsoever of a human being in any way, shape, or form. They have no status whatsoever. You couldn't violate the Shabbos to be able to save them. And therefore, it is permitted to do any manipulations that are necessary. In the case of PGD, you do not in any ways compromise the fertilized egg, but even those that you decide have certain genetic challenges, you can discard without any halachic concern. The meta-halachic issue, which is the issue I want to just highlight, is something that is highlighted in the Nishmas Avram when he's quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And that is, in a case in which he's dealing with a sperm wash, in which you're trying to separate the X and Y chromosome in order to deal with an issue of hemophilia, which is a disease that males are predisposed to. So he writes here that the question was asked to him, can you do the sperm wash? And he writes that it is permitted to do the sperm wash in order to make sure that that when an IUI is being done, that the child that will be born will hopefully not have the disease of hemophilia. But he mentions an interesting concern. If you look at line 26, Ach tzorech ian b'shtei ha-shelot hanal, ha'im lo b'kagon da ne'amar, b'hadei kavsei d'rachmana lamalach. Quoting the famous Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, why are you so involved with the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, here Rav Shlomo Zalman, being quoted by the Nishmas Avram, is highlighting a point that I think cannot be ignored, that there comes a point in the PGD conversation, although Rav Shlomo Zalman's comment is not about PGD, I don't think he was alive at the time of PGD, he's talking about an issue of a sperm wash, that there are times in which there's a meta-halachic issue that we have to be concerned about. And that is the slippery slope. when we are involved in PGD, are we moving from being God's junior partner to being walking within the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? B'havdei kavsei d'rachman alam alach. Are we walking around involved with the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On this issue, there was an interesting conversation that I'd like to share with you if you turn to the next page. Rav Menachem Burstein, Shlita, who is the head of Machon Pua, a clinic in Eretz Yisrael that deals with fertility and medicine, they look to people like Dr. Steinberg as mentors and others. I had the opportunity to take a sabbatical year and spend time. I was the first person who ever spoke English in that Machon. Spent a year learning with him, which means that I learned from him from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. because that's when his time became free. And I spent the whole year learning the medical procedures as well as the halachic issues, and then having some quality time with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu on these issues. Rav Menachem Burstein was asked, as he customarily does, he sent out a question to Major Poskim about the issue of sex selection and being able to decide children. He says, listen, here's his letter basically. His letter says the following. There are three different ways that you can decide whether you want to have male or female children. One is a special diet, and he writes that has a 60 to 75% chance. I think he's overrating the chances there greatly, although I can't argue with my teacher, but I think in this case he is. Then he says, or you can do sperm washes, and there you have an 85% chance. I also think it's slightly overrated. Or you can do PGD, in which you can basically do, as I showed you, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, where you can basically remove one cell in the blastocyst stage of development and decide, male child, female child, I only have male children, I'll destroy all the male fertilized eggs, and I'll only return the female fertilized eggs to the womb of my wife, and that's it. Can I do PGD in order to be able to decide whether I want to have male or female children? And if you turn to the next pages, I don't think these letters have ever been printed, and I did not type them up for you for two reasons. One is I probably couldn't get everyone's handwriting correctly, and two is I wanted to show you in the way he received them. You'll see Rav Nevetzal writes back, oh, the first way using the diet, that's great. The second way has a little Hashkas Zera issue. But the second way is better than doing PGD. Then he has, again, this is not about genetic challenges. This is about sex selection for, let's say, Puru Ravu or something of that nature. Rav Amar brings down, not using the Gemara that I mentioned in Brachas, but the famous Ramban that says that the reason why kalayim is usur, the reason why mingling seeds to create your own new produce is forbidden, is because you are moving from being God's junior partner to being God. He says that that's why perhaps PGD should perhaps be a challenge. Shar hashitot ma'od lo poshut. It's not so simple. But Rambam ubechinuch, he mentions the Rambam and the Chinuch, quoting the issue of Kalayim. And therefore, however, he says, Kishiyesh she'lam yuchedet. For example, Gagon harbei banot lo banim. You have many girls and no boys. Tzarech she'lam ufuretet. You have to ask a posek. Yitachin she'yeh makom lahatir. It seems that there would be permitted. But prat she'yesh tzarech refu'i. Surely, when there's an issue of dealing with this issue for medical reasons, PGD should be mutter. O kidei lahashlim per revu. Or to fulfill the mitzvah per revu. You want to have male and female children. O mishum shalom bayis. Or shalom bayis. So essentially, although in his first two lines he says that the big isser, he says for genetic reasons it's permitted to have male or female children, it's permitted. And for shalom bayis. So those are like reasons that are large enough for a halachic Mack truck to go through. But to organize your family in lahatir. But once you permit for shalom bayis, I'm not sure what the next few, words meant. Rav Neuwirth, he's the most strict of all of these. And I wanted to give you a smorgasbord of responses. Tsar li sha'atem askim b'yanim shenisterim itanu. I am concerned that you are working on these types of issues like sex selection. Your tafkid machom pua is lazor lanashim b'yanei yishut v'lo b'yanim ke'ela. Your idea is to help deal with fertility issues, not these issues. V'od anatas richim lasot et shalanu. We have to do ours, v'hashar bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest is in God's hands. But by the way, he says, look at what Professor Avraham writes regarding what Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wrote regarding hemophilia, meaning that when there's a genetic issue, one can basically play that godly role, or to use that Rabbi Akiva Turnus Rufus paradigm, be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's partner in obviating challenges. Rav Yaakov Ariel says the same thing in his last two lines, that in the Baal Mum, it's definitely permitted to be done. And so the point that I'm trying to bring out here is that clearly there are no halachic issues. It would be difficult for the halachic police to come to your home if you were involved with doing PGD. The meta-halachic issue is an issue that I just want to bring out. And clearly, I think for genetic reasons, there is no halachic challenge whatsoever of using PGD. And regarding the issues of being able to decide whether you want to have male or female children, for Puruvu, clearly there are poskim that permit it. And I am not here to suggest, since I am not a posek, that would be a halachic challenge. But I do think it is important that we be careful how we use PGD, recognizing that it's something that should be used to obviate genetic challenges, recognizing that it's something that can be used to help when there are infertility issues and social challenges, like in the case of that Haredi situation that I brought up to you. But I also want to create a certain healthy tension. What I find very interesting, and with this I conclude, the famous Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara in Shabbos says that after 120 years, we're asked a few questions. The first question is, Nasat v'natata b'amuna, were you involved in integrity in your business? A question that the Jewish community has to do a lot of reflection and introspection about. Kavata itin l'Torah, were you involved in studying Torah? That's a question that we don't have to do as much challenges as we have to do for the first one, I think. And one of the other questions, it says, is Asafta b'Puria b'Rivia. Now, I find it very interesting, because if you look at the translation, the English translation will say, did you fulfill the mitzvah of having children? But that's not what the Hebrew says, or the Aramaic. Asafta b'Puria b'Rivia. Did you try to have children? Asafta, laso. Did you work on it? My point being that while I think PGD is 100% something that one can engage in to deal with genetic challenges, and there's not a halachic issue, and this is probably okay to deal with to choreograph one's family, I think that we have to be careful of creating the expectations that one has to be yotzei the mitzvah of puravu by using PGD. I think you have to realize that Gemara never said kiyamta puravu. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of puravu? That's not what the Gemara says. Says the Sakta, did you do your best? We have to be careful not to create an environment in which, and it's so important. I mean, one of the things that we try to teach when we teach rabbinical students is that, you know, when you speak during Parshiot and Bereishis and you speak about infertility, and you're speaking in a shul and there are young couples there that don't yet have children, and you make some joke that, oh, you know, you don't yet have children and whatever. You don't know what's going on in their lives. You don't know if they haven't been trying to have children. You can make statements that can scar a couple and will distance their ability to ask you questions for the rest of their relationship with you, which, by the way, just ended when you made those jokes. We have to be careful to recognize that the Gemara uses the word asakta. Did you do your hashtablus? Your hashtablus doesn't always mean that you have to do IVF, that you have to do PGD. That's not what hashtablus means. It doesn't say kiyamta, it says asakta. And so I leave with a certain dialectical tension here. The recognition of the fact that clearly PGD, when dealing with genetic issues, is something that is 100% halakhically permitted. And clearly, to deal with certain social challenges, it should be also permitted. But when we're now choreographing our families to make sure we have boys and girls and things of that nature, I can't say it's usher because it's clearly there are poskim that say it's mutter, and I'm not a posek. But I want to leave, at least in the conversation, a pause, a recognition of the fact that we got to be careful how we use this unbelievable gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, namely this unbelievable gift of science that the Meiri highlights so clearly as something that we should use properly, and recognize that we can't use it as a conduit of pressure, but recognize that it is a tool to empower, but God forbid never to be a tool that creates additional pressures for couples going through challenges, or for couples that feel that...